Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alvaton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
If you would, grab your copy of God's word, turn with me to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 will be our passage today, not the whole thing, because that's really a big book, a big chapter in the Bible. But we'll actually just take one verse from that in just a moment. But if you know anything about America, you know that America has a great legacy of the automobile. In fact, this past week, apparently on Discovery or one of those channels, it was Car Week and all these different shows about all these amazing cars. But one of the things that comes along with that legacy of the car and the van and the station wagon is loading your family up into that vehicle and going, hitting a highway and going on a great big old road trip. How many of y'all remember doing that or you've done that recently, right? The big family road trip, man. The biggest one we ever took was in 2006. Zachariah was brand new. The kid was, he was just a year old or just under a year old, and we loaded up and we went all out west to Yellowstone and all that. But there are so many amazing and quirky things along the road to see when you get out there in America, like the Corn Palace. Any of y'all ever been to the Corn Palace in Iowa? Yeah, man, if you go out there, you got to go there, right there in Mitchell, actually in South Dakota is where that's at, Mitchell, South Dakota, where the murals and the designs that are covering that building are all made out of corn and other types of grains. They do a new design every year. Or like the world's largest ball of twine. Anybody ever seen that? It's in Kansas. It's in Calker City, Kansas. Now, I've heard that it's really neat to see, but you got to watch out for the world's largest cat that lives in that town also. So you got to watch out for it, all right? Or like the Jolly Green Giant in Blue Earth, Minnesota. Go, Minnesota. Anybody ever been to that one before? Yeah, we have too, man. I heard him laughing down here. Yeah, yeah. We were so moved by that Christy almost started liking green peas. I mean, it was an amazing experience. Or how about the Cadillac Ranch near Amarillo, Texas? Who's seen that one? Yeah. Man, and when you see that, you're like, what in the world were they thinking? Well, first off, just to put this into context, hippies are going to do what hippies do, okay? This was designed by not just hippies, but artistic hippies. And this is actually, I didn't know this until I was doing a little research on it. This is actually an homage to the Cadillac tail fins from 1949 to 1963. And each one represents a change in the tail fin. But people along the days have gotten off there and they've begun to paint and graffiti and take pieces of it and all this stuff. But yeah, that's actually what it was. But if you're ever up near Edison, New Jersey, be sure to stop in and see the world's largest light bulb. It sits atop the Thomas Edison Memorial Tower. It marks the site of one of Edison's greatest inventions, the light bulb. If you're here today and you're thankful for the light bulb, say amen. Amen. me too. He unveiled that to the public in 1879. And that light bulb right there is 14 feet tall and weighs 8 tons. Thomas Edison and his light bulb changed everything because it brought light into darkness. Check this picture from outer space out. I think this is really neat. This is America at nighttime. And you can see the influence that Edison's invention had all across the USA. In fact, I think one of those dots is either Nashville or Louisville. I mean, you can kind of see where Kentucky might be. It has changed everything for us. Now, our text today, Psalm 119, verse 105, tells you and me that the Bible, this Bible right here, is a lot like a light bulb. Now, you say, now, preacher, man, that Bible up there you got, I ain't never seen a Bible look like a light bulb. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about its appearance, church. I'm talking about its purpose. You see, like a light bulb's purpose is to shine light into darkness, the Bible's purpose is to shine light into darkness as well. You see, physical darkness is not the only darkness, right? Physical darkness is not the only darkness. Along with physical darkness comes spiritual darkness, and there's moral darkness. So physical darkness is an eyeball issue. You're not getting enough light into your eyeballs. But spiritual darkness, that is a heart issue. This morning, we're going to continue in our new series called The God Questions. We're going to explore some of life's greatest questions about God. Now, this morning's question, I'm just going to be honest with you, is really not maybe a tough question to answer. But it's a very important question. In fact, it may be the most important question about God, other than the fact that he is, that you will ever answer. So here's the question this morning. Why should I study the Bible? Why should I study the Bible? Now, there may be some of you here this morning who are asking that very question. You're not convinced that there is anything at all special about this book that I hold in my hands. You're not convinced that it's all that important. You honestly cannot figure out why in the world people fuss so much over this ancient book and speak about it and buy it. You know, this is the greatest selling book ever, right? Why do people spend so much money and give these as gifts and have them in every nightstand, in every hotel and all that stuff? What's the big deal? What's the big fuss? I hope by the end of this message that you will understand why we believe that the Bible is precious. But most likely, it's not so many folks in here who are asking this question, but you will certainly encounter this question outside of these walls, won't you? There are people everywhere saying, why should I study the Bible? I mean, are you kidding me? That's just a bunch of old dudes' opinions. Aren't there other books that are also enlightening? I mean, it's 2017 for Pete's sake. I mean, aren't we past the Bible? Why should I study the Bible? And the short answer is, because it is light in your darkness. So turn with me again. Psalm 119, verse 105. I'm going to invite you to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God. I know it's only a short passage. But I want to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God because the Word of God is indeed worthy of our honor. Because it speaks to our God who is worthy of honor. And it says this. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your light would shine forth from this book and that, God, we would not close our eyes to it, but we would open our eyes, that you would give us vision and understanding and help us to stand on this book as light, as truth. Thank you for your grace, God, that has given the Bible to us. And Father, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice today who is skeptical of the Bible and skeptical of the Savior that this Bible points to, I pray today would be the day that you would answer questions in their heart, and today would be the day they would reach out and take hold of Christ in faith, love, and repentance. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as you grab your seat, the psalmist here talks about the Word. The Word that the psalmist is referring to is the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. Why should I study the Bible? Because the Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God is light shining into darkness. To help you and me understand why we should study the Bible this morning, I want to quantify or actually qualify what sort of light this Bible is. What are the qualities of this light? I want to share with you three qualities this morning. And just to be honest, I mean, there are more that I could preach on and share. And even as you're filling in your blanks, you may write some more down, some qualities about the light that the Bible is. But these three will suffice for this morning to help you understand why it's so important. So first, you should study the Bible because the Bible is a necessary light. It is a necessary light. This isn't news to anybody, beloved, but the world is filled with evil. The world is filled with ignorance. The world is filled with deception. The world is filled with foolishness. Humanity's wicked heart pulls us into darkness, right? We have hearts of darkness, and all of this darkness blankets the earth like it's midnight. Proverbs 4:19 says the way of the wicked is like a deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. If you've ever tried to walk into deep darkness, man, it is totally disorienting. It is scary, right? I mean, I'm not talking about like walking out at night when there's a moon, that kind of darkness. I'm talking about pitch black, can't see your hand in front of your face. It is frightening. It's frightening. You have no idea what's around you. You have no idea where you are, what you're about to hit. And even though you might grope about and feel stuff and maybe get down on your knees, eventually you're going to hit something. And eventually it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt you. You're going to hurt yourself, something you were totally unaware of. And so it's a dangerous situation to be in. Just like with physical darkness, that deep darkness that we, without any light whatsoever, guys, our world, it's the same morally and spiritually. Man is naturally religious, but man is also naturally in spiritual darkness. And so we grope about, the world gropes about trying to get to some sort of higher power, some sort of higher meaning. And all over the world, we see this truth played out in false religions and false moralities. There are people groping about in darkness and they are stumbling and they're falling. And I declare to you this morning, they will never get to God and a godly morality without the light of God. You see, the Bible is absolutely necessary. Now I know tomorrow is the big day, right? I mean, the day that we've all been waiting for. Eclipseville, USA, okay? And I know it's not Hopkinsville, but apparently it's pumped up over here. I love it. He's like, yeah! I mean, I'm pretty excited about it coming too, right? And I've seen articles written and about how the eclipse is going to display the glory of God, and when the sun and the moon align and it goes dark and all that, that's going to be one of the ways that the heavens declare that God is. And so you may be saying back to me, but preacher, I thought we could know God through nature. And I say, yeah, you're right. We can know God. There is some light in nature itself shining out our path to God. In fact, the Bible teaches that. It's Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20 says, for God's invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. But let me say this to you this morning. The light that is revealed in nature, what theologically we would call general revelation, revelation that every person on the planet with senses and who are conscious can discern, that light is just enough to let you know that something is there. You ever been there before when you're walking in darkness and all of a sudden you freeze and your heart starts beating because you can see something right over there in the darkness, but you're not quite sure what it is? Well, my garage, I don't know if y'all's garage is like my garage, okay? But sometimes a garage can become a catch-all, okay? And right now, mine's in a season of being a catch-all, okay? And so one night, I was walking in to my garage. It was dark. The door was up. There was no light shining on. I mean, I've got a light on my garage door opener, right? When you cross the little line and trip the switch, the light comes on. But I hadn't gotten there yet. And as I walked up, I froze because I looked in that garage, and I was certain that there was a man standing right in there ready to jump out and get me when I came in. I mean, my heart's pounding and all this stuff, and I just knew it. And so I crept up, and I kicked a little switch and jumped back, and it was a coat sitting on a rack in the garage right there, right? Guys, that's how it is in real life. It's the same way with creation. It's just enough light to let you know that there is a God, that there's something there. But it doesn't tell us who God is or how you can have peace with that God. It would be like me if I'd walked up and not tripped that switch and said, there is something great in that garage. I can't tell exactly what it is, but it's got to be great because I can see it's there. And I got down and began to worship that darkened image in there and began to attribute characteristics to it and all this stuff without the light being on. The only way, guys, for us to know that there's not just a God, but who that God is and how we can have peace with God, the only way that happens, beloved, is through God's word. That's the only way that happens is through God's word, where God has chosen to reveal himself. Now, he has not, I don't know if he's told us everything about himself in this book, but I know this, he's told us enough. that we might know him and have a relationship with him and have peace with him. You cannot rightly know God or know how to get to God without the light of the Bible. So the Bible is a necessary light. But it's not just a necessary light. Second, you should also study the Bible because the Bible is a trustworthy light. The Bible is a trustworthy light. It will not lead you astray. It is not the light at the end of the tunnel that's actually a train coming, okay? It's not like the light of a bug zapper, right? I mean, the little bug's flying. He's thinking, yes, light. And he gets there and bzzz, he's dead. It's not like that. I mean, or it's not like this. Just imagine you're a scuba diver and you're swimming around, scuba diving in the dark recesses of the ocean. And up ahead, you can't believe your eyes, but you think that you see this little glowing dot floating around in the water. And you're like, I gotta go check this out, man. This is amazing. I didn't know there's anything light down here. Did somebody drop a flashlight or something? And as you swim that way, all of a sudden you say, you know what? I've got a light myself. I think I ought to shine that light on whatever that is. And all of a sudden, when your light hits it, you see this. That, guys, is an anglerfish. And that dude right there has the ability to shine a light that attracts other fish. And when they get it close enough, it's too late. You can see those teeth. Man, that dude is going to eat you up. I don't even know how big they get. But it doesn't matter. I mean, he would gnaw off a fish. I don't know. He looks like he could do some damage. I don't care how big he is. I don't care how big he is. Many a poor fish, y'all, have been taken prey because that little light was an untrustworthy light. It led to death and destruction. Some lights are not trustworthy, but the Bible is a trustworthy light. It absolutely is a trustworthy light. Let me give you just three quick reasons why the Bible is a trustworthy light. The first reason is that the Bible is a trustworthy light because it is divine. Now, I'm not saying that this right here is a God. The Bible is not a God, but the Bible points to God, and it was written by God. You see, the Bible is not just a bunch of old dead dudes who wrote down their opinions about God. What we have here in our hands is the actual Word of God. What the Bible says, God says. This is not just a work of man, right? It's more of a work of God than it is a work of man. Now, I'm not up here denying that man didn't have a part in it. Man did, right? Over 30 authors penned and wrote down the 66 books that we have here in the Bible, but these men did not operate alone. You know what I'm saying? They weren't just doing whatever they wanted to do and writing whatever they wanted to write. God had his hand on these men. And that's what I mean by this is a divine book. 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 declares this. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, God the Holy Spirit worked through these men and in these men in such a way that what was written was not just the work of man, but fully the work of God. God declares in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, one of the most foundational passages of Scripture in the Bible. God declares all Scripture, in other words, all the Bible, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. These words that we have in the Bible, yes, they came through the pens or quills or whatever they used back in those days, came through that writing utensil of a man, but they originated from the mouth of God. They were breathed out by God. You can trust it because the Bible is divine. Secondly, the Bible's trustworthy. It's a trustworthy light because it's inerrant. It is inerrant. Beloved, the Bible is 100% the Word of God. And God cannot lie. God cannot err. Therefore, the Bible is 100% true. What it says you can rely on. Right? What it says you can rely on. It's not a mixture of error. It's not like the liberal theologians, the neo-orthodoxy theologians who said that the Bible contains the Word of God. No, no, no. The Bible is the Word of God. It's not 50% true and 50% error. It's not 75% true and 25% error. It's not 99% true and 1% error. It is 100% truth. Amen? 100%. 0% error. The Bible is inerrant. And the third reason I would share with you this morning that the Bible is a trustworthy light is because the Bible is infallible. It's divine, it's inerrant, and it's infallible. Beloved, the word infallible means that its truth will never be nullified. It'll never be voided. For instance, Christians everywhere used to believe that the earth was flat. But that knowledge has been, it proved itself to be fallible, didn't it? Right? It's been surpassed. It's been nullified and voided. But the Word of God, the truthfulness here, the Scripture, will never be nullified, never be voided. It will never go out of date. It will never become irrelevant. It's as true today and as relevant today in 2017 as it was 2,000 years ago. It's as true today and as relevant today as it was 4,000 years ago when Moses was penning Genesis and the Pentateuch. And it will remain true for another 4,000 years and beyond if Jesus were to tarry that long. Regardless of what the world will say, biology will not surpass it. Sociology will not surpass it. Psychology will not surpass it. Anthropology won't surpass it. It will never be knocked down. It's the Word of God. It's infallible. Beloved, the Bible is a trustworthy light. So it's a necessary light. It's a trustworthy light. But finally this morning, the Word of God is a saving light. It's a saving light. Now let's be clear. This Bible will not save you, okay? The Bible itself, okay, will not save you. But just like a lighthouse, think about a lighthouse. A lighthouse doesn't actually save you, does it? A lighthouse does not actually save you. It simply shines light into a harbor that you might find a safe passage to where you want to go. And it's the same way with the Bible. The Bible itself won't save you, but it shines light on your need for salvation and the way to salvation through Jesus Christ. In other words, it shines light on your sin and it shines light on your Savior. First, light on your sin. Romans 3:23, the Bible declares, this is the Bible shining light on your sin. It declares that all have what, church? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all literally missed the mark. We were aiming. God said, this is the bullseye, and we hit way out here. Okay? We have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the Bible doesn't just declare that. I mean, it did declare it, right? I mean, just straight up. We're sinners. We've missed the mark. But the Bible also demonstrates it, particularly through the Ten Commandments. So it shines light on our sin by saying, these are the commandments of God. Have you kept them? You shall worship no one but God. You shall obey your parents. You shall not lie. You shall not covet. So on and so forth. Each commandment is a light, like a blazing sun, shining on your sin and exposing your sin. But the Bible, praise God, does not just shine light on your sin. It also shines light on your Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, the whole Bible, if you were to say, why did God give us the Bible? He gave us the Bible to tell us who He is, who we are, and how we can have peace with Him, how we can have that relationship, how we can be saved. And so the whole Bible is God's story of salvation of mankind from the beginning to the end, right? The Old Testament prepares us for Jesus, and the New Testament points us back to Jesus. You see, guys, Jesus came to save you and me from sin. All right? And Scripture shines the light on the salvation He offers. Some of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the Bible shining light on Jesus. Acts 4:11 and 12. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is the light of God in the Bible, shining light on Jesus for you and for me. Romans 10, 9 through 13. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord's Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Guys, I declare to you this morning that the Bible, that God through the Bible has given you and me ample light. Ample light. It is a necessary light. It is a trustworthy light. It is a saving light. God has given us ample light for you and me to know that we are a sinner in need of a Savior and to whom to turn to for that salvation in Jesus Christ. The Bible has provided ample light for you and for me. And to be honest, guys, it shines forth like 1,000 suns. It's so bright. It's so clear. But there are those of you here this morning who refuse to see that light. Jesus has come that you might be saved. The Bible has declared that you're a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior. But here's the deal. Here's a quote from somebody. They said this: if you close your eyes, no lighthouse can help you. I want everybody to do just something for just a second. Let's close our eyes for a moment. Everybody just close their eyes. When we close our eyes to the light that God has given us, we are willfully choosing to pretend like God has not spoken through his Bible. We are actively pushing down and rejecting the truth of the Word of God. I beg you this morning, open your eyes. God has given you light. God has given you light that you might be saved. Everybody open their eyes now. I just wanted you to feel that darkness. And if you are spiritually closing your eyes to that light, it cannot help you. But if you, by the grace of God, will open your eyes and see that light of Christ and run to Christ, you will be saved by Christ. Psalm 119, verse 105 says this: your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Here's my final prayer as the praise team comes. May your path be brightened and secured by the light of the Bible. Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins, turn from them, and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you, and I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.